Caitlin Bristow hosts the hilarious, relatable, always honest, kind of feels like you're hanging out with your best friends podcast Off the Vine every Tuesday and Thursday. Tuesday episodes are interviews with guests like Wells Adams, Rachel Lindsay, Nikki Glasser, and Lisa Vanderpump to talk about everything from career to relationships to mental health. Thursday's episodes are called Grape Therapy, which are sometimes bachelor recaps, sometimes giving advice and hearing from listeners on the Vine hotline, or sometimes just catching up with a friend. Listen to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow wherever you get your podcast. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone. If only you had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. All right, y'all, things are about to get intense. Like, we're staring into the eyes of our lifelong crush for a minute straight, intense. Intense heat, lasting plump from the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. It's formulated with chili pepper, delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. It's available in 8 sizzling shades. My favorite I've been wearing the past few days is the Blush Blaze. Y'all, this color is beautiful. But when I say the sensation is intense, it is. It feels like, in the best way possible, you rubbed a jalapeno all over your lips. So if you love that sensation, you are going to love this. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. Seriously, y'all, like, this color is beautiful and the heat is piping. Tim Story, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. You have been so impactful in my life with the short conversations that we've had together, but they've been in moments that have been me at my highest and my lowest. And I'm just so thankful that God allowed you to come into my life and help me through this time. And I feel very lucky and honored to do that because you are one of the best life coaches in the world that I'm fortunate enough to know. So thank you so much for coming
on
here.
You're very welcome.
And I'm so excited that my listeners are going to get to hear from you and be encouraged by you, motivated by you, because you basically just talk in quotes, I feel like. Everything you say, I'm like, okay, where's my pen?
I kind of do talk in quotes. But let me just tell you, when I first saw you, because I had known your parents, and when I first saw you, I think life sometimes puts like this little like ding on somebody, and you can tell they're going to do something wonderful. So I remember dialoguing with you, and the thing that I loved is your just faith for the future. Like, you knew something big was going to happen, even though you didn't know what that big was, right?
Yep.
But that faith for the future was like coming just out of your eyes, and that was awesome to see. And then it's so beautiful to watch this evolve as you're evolving. Yes.
Yeah, because you met me when I was Miss Alabama USA.
That's right.
And I think my dad like started the conversation and wanted to introduce me to you because I just heard you spoke at this convention for my parents. They're a part of Paul Mitchell, and you came and spoke at that big convention.
Right.
And I tagged along mostly because it was in Disneyland.
Yes.
And I then went and sat in your message, and I will never forget it. And I don't want to mess it up. I'll never forget sit, stand, walk, run, soar. Like, it impacted me, and I was just like, oh my gosh, like this guy has just like spoke to my soul, because I did believe and still believe that there's even more for my life. Mm-hmm. But sometimes in the journey to get there, it can get messy.
100%.
And I don't want to botch what sit, stand, walk, run, soar, like that whole message. But can you give us a little taste of that? Because it, like I said, it was just really impactful for me. And I think for listeners.
Yeah. So let's unpack something. So a lot of people come from a faith background. Some do not. But once in a while, I use the scriptures, because there's a scripture in the Bible that says, God knows the end from the beginning, and he knows what is yet to unfold. So when I met you at that age, you were unfolding.
Mm-hmm. Well, I still am.
Yeah, you still are. But we had not seen you in The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, and then Dancing with the Stars, and then this other thing that you co-won, mm-hmm. which was like, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Even as like almost like your cool uncle, I was like, oh my God, she's going to jump out of that. Okay. So what happens is that people pay so much attention to the unfolding or the goal, like where am I going to be? But truly there are steps before you get to that goal. Mm-hmm. You have to sit and get educated. Stand in what you learned. Walk out the principles that you're learning. And then if you're fortunate, you get to run.
Mm-hmm.
Run is a place of passion. So if I study your life, you've been a lot in the running, because even like in high school, you were popular, people liked you. Then as you got older, the college years, and then Miss Alabama. So running is passion. A lot of people don't even get there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another phase, and that is where life picks you up and you soar. So in my opinion, when I first met you at the whole Disneyland area, we knew you would at least run.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But this soaring that you're doing is next level. Because you got to remember, you also have a New York Times best-selling book, and I don't. And I got a big following.
How is that?
I got a big following. I'm 78 countries deep, and you know, you have a New York Times best-selling book. So you went from sitting to standing to walking to running, and then life picks you up and you soar.
Mm-hmm. But I guess my outlook on that is, and sometimes this is where like I'm like, oh gosh, just take me to church today, Tim, yeah. And people can listen on. But I feel like sometimes, and maybe this is just me having imposter syndrome in a way, I'm like, oh, but I feel like I soared before I was ready. And I mm-hmm. had to, like, I had some like face plants or like some, like I was soaring and wasn't paying attention and hit a tree or a building.
Yeah.
Because there were some things in life that I think were ordained to happen, but there were some lessons that I feel like I hadn't quite learned yet. Is that part of soaring? I don't know.
Yes, 100%. So what happens is that you probably did soar too early.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is that you could be a visionary heavyweight, I'm using a boxing term, but then you are like a character middleweight. And so you started soaring so early that you had to then, you know, figure out, who are my real friends? Who are my partners? What can I mm-hmm. say online? What can I not say online?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you did come up very, very quick. But what we could do, instead of like saying, oh, that was not good, we turn it around and we say, what lessons can we learn from that? And that's what you've always been willing to mm-hmm. do when me and you have talked.
Yeah. And I think that is one thing of why I do think I have people that relate to me, because they can see that I've soared. And like, this is where I'm like, okay, God, this is why all this has happened, because I've been like allowed the opportunities and have lived a life to where I've had these moments of soaring that have allowed me to share the wisdom and kind of grow and learn, get knocked down and get back up in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
Now with that comes like a lot of responsibility, and it's not always fun.
Yes.
To have to constantly like feel like I'm always learning and growing and trying to get better in front of people instead of just being like, ta-da, here I am. Here's the final product after a sit, stand, walk, run. I'm having to like kind of do that all in front of in front of people sometimes. And it can, it's been very humbling.
But I would agree with you. I think that's one reason so many people are relating to you.
Today is about looking for new ways to better ourselves. But sometimes that means looking in a totally different place or even a different state. In South Dakota, travel is transformative. It's good for the soul. It's the kind of place to just let go, to escape from routine and predictability of life, to put down the phone and pick up a sense of adventure and to see the world a little bit differently, as in not through our screen. Life in South Dakota is about unplugging from it all and connecting with the world around you. It's about being open to real surprises and treating your senses to a real, raw, natural beauty that doesn't need a filter. Whether you're exploring the mountains and trees of the Black Hills, hiking through the Badlands, navigating the wild towns, or camping under the stars, South Dakota is the place to get a little lost and find yourself along the way. See why there's so much South Dakota, so little time at TravelSouthDakota.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How is your social battery right now? Because mine has been a little drained. I feel like it's because, honestly, this weather here in Nashville, I feel like I haven't seen the sun that much. And I'm just needing a little bit more time outside, some more walks, just being more social, not just as cooped up. And it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? For me, I actually need to be a little bit more social. So I get excited and then can overwhelm myself a little bit too much with all the plans that I've had. But maybe you need a little bit less time and need some time to yourself to recharge. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/tomorrow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tomorrow. There have been many times in my life where I really thought I could trust my gut, but I definitely shouldn't have. Definitely with a lot of those exes in the past, when it comes to that low fuel flashing light on my car, I just always think that it's not really serious. Trust me, it is. I've been on the side of the road way too many times. Probiotics can't help with most of your gut decisions, but if your gut needs a little support, Ritual has your back. Ritual has made a 3-in-1 supplement with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome, all in one minty capsule and no refrigeration needed. I love my Symbiotic Plus. I take it every day. It's great because it's got all the biotics in it for my probiotic. I feel like it's just really helping my gut in all the ways. And actually, Ritual even invested in a study modeling the human colon, which showed that Symbiotic Plus significantly increased the microbial diversity and the growth of beneficial bacteria. We love that. We love when the thing's actually doing the work that we need it to for our gut. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/HannahB. Start Ritual or add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/HannahB for 25% off.
You've helped so many people, not only me, but how did you get into this life work?
Yeah. So it's an interesting thing. So Hannah, when I was in high school, I played sports. And so I was a funny guy. I was happy. I was a good athlete. And my junior year, a friend of mine who was one of my tutors, because I was okay in math and okay in science, but she was better. So one of my tutors, she handed me a book that was so thick about the life of Mother Teresa. So Mother Teresa, as you know, nun, okay? And she helped these orphans. So she gave me this big book and she goes, here, I'm done reading it, read it. And I go, why? She goes, I don't know, you're just supposed to read it. So in the middle of like being this athlete and this funny guy, I read this book and this thing makes me emotional. Because you got this nice nun, Mother Teresa, who was also a school teacher, and she heard the cries of the orphans. And man, when I was reading about how she was helping orphans, something weird happened to me. I'm like, I want to help hurting people. So I went to the guidance counselor, like they have those in high schools. Yeah. And the guy said, Tim, I'm going to tell you something. I know you want to go to USC, communications major, but I'm going to challenge you. I honestly think you have a calling on your life. And this was not a religious school, just a, you know, quote unquote, what we call a secular high school. And he said, you should consider going to seminary. So that's what I did. I went to seminary because I wanted to be the cool Mother Teresa. That's how this Tim Story journey went. So I got a doctorate in world religion and a master's in counseling. So that's how I started doing this.
Wow. Were you in a religious household before?
Yes, we needed religion. Yes. I'm from Compton, California. And you need religion in Compton, California. So same as Dr. Dre, the Williams sisters, Kendrick Lamar, we're all straight out of Compton. Listen, we had seven people in a two-bedroom apartment. We were cramped. We were crowded. But I was still, Hannah, I was still dreaming. Even as a little kid, I was dreaming big. Mm-hmm. I knew that was not my destiny. So that's why I went to seminary to be a cool Mother Teresa. And then I never thought that it would become like, and then now he's the life coach to the stars.
Yeah.
That I didn't see coming at all.
You're like, how did that start?
So it's kind of a cool story. I think that life gives you assignments. So I've always seen myself as never better than somebody else. I just see that what I get to do is my assignment. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so when I was in seminary, when I was only 19, I created a curriculum for inner city kids. And I'd go to these cities and I'd motivate these kids to like live up in a sometimes down world. And I was doing all these things that I do. And some famous NFL players found out about me and they said, we have money and you have a gift. And we want to support your gift. That's how it started at 19.
Were you like a chap? Is it like a chaplain?
No. So I became a chaplain for the Raiders football team.
Okay.
But I was just in Tampa motivating people. And some of the leaders in Tampa told some of the NFL players like, oh, my God, there's this guy just helping people, helping kids, having outreaches, raising money to give them backpacks for school. I was 19. So how awesome is it that these guys said, we have money, you have a gift, let's go. And that's how I just started taking off.
And that was at 19.
Yes.
Did you feel like at 19, did you have like any clue? Were you like, me? Or were you like, all right, this is what I was made for. And you like stepped up to the plate. Or did you have moments of doubt? I was more me.
I was like, when there was a foreign exchange student, my junior year of high school, that was so pretty and she was a senior and she had a crush on me, but she had a choice of all these other types. And I was like, what? That's how I felt when these football players said you, because I never felt like I'm the guy, choose me. I felt like, okay, I'm pretty good at what I do. And then life chose me to do these assignments. Yeah.
I kind of feel that same way sometimes, mm-hmm. but I think I really struggle and I get in my head about it. Like, I think I let that me and not just like me. Okay. Yeah. Then I'm like, me, are you sure? Are you sure? Wait, why are they picking me?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I get stuck.
So let me ask you a question. So when you did that one show where it seems like they dropped you like in Jordan. And what's the name of that show?
It's called Special Forces.
So I watched every episode. So holy schmoly.
I know.
What in the world? So the thing that was so wild is to see like the competitions just go higher, higher, higher. I mean, when you guys were up so high, then you had to scale down and then jumping out of a helicopter backwards. In that mindset, how do you get through that to get to the next day?
So that's the thing that I'm trying to still work out about myself.
Yeah.
I do really well in extremes.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's like sometimes living in my past, like in extreme, like fight or flight. And so like I did really well in that. And I watch it back and, you know, Dr. Amen, I work with Dr. Amen. I think he definitely helped me, but I don't know. I noticed immediately a difference in the way that my mindset was compared to a lot of other people. Like I was very like, I'm in this. This is my life. I'm not going to think about what is out there because this is what we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. And I always like, this is temporary. Like I know this pain is temporary, or reminding myself like, the thing that I had to remind myself, funny, I'm like, okay, this is TV. I don't think surely I'm not going to die. Right. So I just like stayed of like, okay, you might. And it was weird. Like I handled failure in that arena so different than I handle it in real life.
Super interesting. Yeah.
I was like, I think because I knew I wasn't even looked like nobody thought of me as the best. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I couldn't physically compete with some of the people that were like athletes. So
athletes,
I think I was really like humble, but also like knew that I had been through hard things and I could channel that in some way. And so, you know, I did really well in that experience. I was so proud of myself. I find myself sometimes now, and I think a lot of people can, slipping into seasons of like doubt and self, like my confidence can sometimes be shaken, but then I have to remind myself, but you did that.
Yeah. See, I love that. So as I was watching this as your friend, but also as a therapist, life coach, what I liked, what you did is that you put like each event, like this is what I'm tackling today. So when I look at the name of your show, Better Tomorrow, okay? So how do I become better tomorrow? Today's decisions are tomorrow's realities. So today's decisions are tomorrow's reality. That's how I have a better tomorrow. That's how I have a better next month, the month after, the year after. Today's decisions are tomorrow's reality. And so what you needed to do in that case, in that environment of all the things you had to do is, as you know, you were having to concentrate on let me do my best through this day.
For sure. Because it was like, there was more stakes of, oh, you could get really hurt, or, oh, you could really hurt someone else.
Like people did.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw my friend, Dr. Drew. I mean, he could hardly breathe. And there's other people that I know that are on the show as well. But to see all the mishaps and challenges.
It could be a little something. You hurt your arm, or, oh, you didn't drink enough water today and you were out. And I think I was very aware of that. But that was such a, all the distractions are away. So I'm realizing in my life, I think the distractions of life sometimes take me out of that perspective of what choice am I making right now?
Yes.
That's going to lead to my better tomorrow. And it's something that I'm like definitely on the journey with. And I don't ever try to pretend like, yes, that was a really great victory for me.
Yes.
And it was good for my confidence and a reminder for me of like, oh, that is, I can be that, and that is who I am.
I like that.
But it's still something that I am actively working through, especially doing something new.
Can I give a few steps having to do with what we're talking about? Okay, so I think that, so in watching you in that show, that you were having some setbacks. Okay, so you had setbacks. When most people have a setback, they keep taking a step back. I know I'm rhyming, but I rhyme. So setback, setback, step back. So watch this. So it's so tempting to sit in your setback. And you saw that on the show, but we both see it in real life that people have a setback, like a breakup, and they just sit in that setback. You see it, right? The second thing people do is they settle. And the way I say it is they become a discount version of themselves.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay. Have you ever been tempted to be a discount version of yourself? Like, I just had that setback. I'm just going to settle in it. and maybe I'm not this person.
Settling is very hard for me. I will say I mean, Adam, we're talking about this. I can be difficult because I know, and not in a mean way. I know what I want, what I'm capable of.
Yes.
And what I deserve a lot of times, especially now. I think that is not the thing that I struggle with as much as settling. Sometimes stepping back is what I yes, struggle with.
But please, let's stick with what you just said, because I like this idea of basically you're saying, I know my value. So the word value comes from the Greek word valor, which is strength. Mm. So I know that I should be strong.
Yeah. That is not something that I struggle with. I know I am capable. Yes. I get upset with myself when I make the conscious, subconscious decision to step back when I know I have that value.
Okay, so I know, I watch you do it. So that's when somebody that's watching right now needs to make a demand on themselves. Mm-hmm. So you need to make a demand. So the real you, okay, needs to make a demand on the you that you're becoming. So if you're starting to back off and back down and sit and settle in your setback, you need to say to yourself, hey, I need to wake up. And then secondly, I need to take inventory. Mm-hmm. Thirdly, I need to partner with the right people. Right?
Yes.
So you got to wake up, become conscious, take inventory, what's going on with my life, and then partner with the right people, and then you got to find the right principles.
Mm, what do you mean by that?
The principles are the things in which we live by that guide us, okay? So let's take a Brené Brown. I like her a lot.
Obsessed, right? With Brené Brown.
Okay. So Brené Brown is so good at what she does, daring mm-hmm. bravely, working through shame. So if you read a lot of books by Brené Brown, that would help your life, okay? If you read 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey, that would help your life. I like what you said, that when you come to your senses, you realize how you're supposed to be.
Yeah. And I think it can be really easy I think that's like such a whisper that we have, though, of mm-hmm. it's not always loud of what you're supposed to be like. But I could feel, you can feel it. And it's very unsettling when you're not living that way.
You're becoming too good at this, because it is almost always a whisper.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. And if you go even to biblical things, mm-hmm. God usually talked to people in the quiet and in the whisper. And not in a shout.
And when when you live life in distractions, it's so hard to hear that whisper. And I think I can find myself. I think a lot of people can. Our world, there's so much noise. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to get caught up in it. But that whisper is never goes away for me. And so that's where I find the friction in my life sometimes. Of
yes.
I know what I. This is what I am doing. This is what I should be doing. This whisper is still here, but these loud voices are, you know, making me look to my left, to my yes. right, back to my left. And it's still something that it's a quest, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And it is something that every day I have to make conscious decisions of. I think my setback mm-hmm. that I had, and that we all had, I feel like in COVID, even though it sucks to be in the suck.
Yeah.
It was a way that I was able to renew. And that's something that you talk about, yes. recovery and discovery. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
I love that you know my terms and my phrases.
I'm telling you, like, I really think you're so special, and you've helped me and you helped so many people. And so I want other people yeah. to know about recovery and discovery.
Thank you.
And also, that's like so cool. That's such something that I admire, when people can speak and you're really good at having like sticky mm-hmm. words that stick
on
for
purpose.
People.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So recovery and discovery is very interesting. So everybody that's watching right now is going through recovery and discovery, and they may say, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. Mm-hmm. Recovery of past things and present things. So it could be your parents got divorced. It could be illness as a child. It could be something very terrible happened to you as a child. So that's the past. Mm-hmm. But we're all going through recovery right now. Every one of us is slightly wounded. I promise you. We're slightly wounded.
Yes, or deeply.
Yeah, slightly or deeply wounded right this moment. I am. Mm-hmm. And so, but it's important not just to stay in what I call the recovery zone, because you'll miss the discovery zone. Okay. The discovery is what is unfolding. Like, how powerful is this? So we both like Disneyland, right?
Love it.
So, and even Disney World and even Paris Disney. So here's a great thing. They have all these lands, like Tomorrowland, Frontierland. They have all these different lands. If you stay in the recovery zone of just your past pain and your present pain, you will miss all these lands that kind of can unfold for you. That's the discovery zone. Mm-hmm. So you can go through recovery and discovery at the same time.
I love that, because sometimes I also found myself in moments, I almost didn't go on special forces because I was like, oh, I'm in like such a healing journey. I mean, I was going through like massive life changes, questioning myself. I mean, my whole body shut down because of stress. Like, it really manifested in my body.
Okay.
And so I was building back up. I hadn't worked out in like a year when I was always pretty athletic. Mm-hmm. And I just started building back.
Yes.
And then this opportunity came and I'm like, it was really easy for me to give a second my head, like, oh, I'm broken. Oh, I'm still broken right now. Like, I'm not quite healed. But then I had this moment of like, but what if this, why would I say no to this opportunity?
Yes.
It could maybe, and what it's not maybe, what it did was remind me that I actually, yes, I'm still in recovery. Yes, I'm still healing, but there's also so much strength inside
me. You just gave the perfect illustration.
Yeah.
Because watch, what if you did not answer the call to get up and get out and go do that show? There's a lot of people that their lives would not have been changed, because people could say, oh, really? Did she change lives by them watching the show? Yes, you did. Mm-hmm. Because when people see someone else plain hurt and rising up, we learn three ways. Education, people teach us. Conversation, that's what we're doing today. And observation. So even me watching you getting back up the next day and doing it again and stepping back into the ring, that is saying, hey, I'm in recovery, but I'm going to go with this discovery thing and let it unfold. So there's a lot of people watching right now that need to just jump out and just allow themselves to discover.
Even though, yeah, you can still be in pain.
Yes.
But I think if I wouldn't have done that show for myself personally, I could still be stuck. Mm-hmm. It really allowed me to get unstuck. So I think sometimes putting yourself out there, or I know putting yourself out there is really important. But how do you decipher from, just like you said, like there's, we talk about kind of like the holy place and making sure that you're, because that's a part of healing, mm-hmm. going to that place. How do you know when it's time to step out?
I think there's times where you really do need to disconnect, okay? Pandemic for me as well was a time of healing, but I didn't really know I was that injured. If I'm working with a client who is deeply injured, I do want them isolated. So, you know, mm-hmm. I work with famous people who get in trouble, right?
Yes.
So when when one of my famous people who gets in trouble, I want them isolated. I don't want them on TMZ. I don't want them on Access Hollywood. I don't want them on anything. I want them isolated so we could go do those steps to become awake, to take inventory, to partner with the right people, to have the right principles. Then we map out a new plan. So yeah, there is a season of silence that should sometimes last for a while. No doubt about it.
But then there is a time. When do you know it's time for those people that have been deeply injured?
Yes.
When are you like, okay, this is your time?
Okay, so
like,
if I was coaching you during the time you took the show, mm-hmm. I would have said to you, take the show. Because I think it's almost like having a an injury, but I can still play with this injury because you know sports. Yep. You've played sports. So there's sometimes we can play injured, but there's sometimes when you got a full cast on your leg and you got to sit. Mm-hmm. So I think some people that are watching right now, you need to play injured for a while, but there's other people that you just need to sit for a season and allow yourself to be healed. No doubt about it.
And I like how you said season, because sometimes as somebody like me, who's like a high achiever, when I get hurt anyway, physical, mentally, emotionally, I can get in, oh my gosh, when is it ever? Am I going to be like this forever? Mm-hmm. And no, like it's just a season. And like you said, in that, like I love in the recovery, you find something new that you've discovered about yourself.
100%.
And that's something to be excited about.
Yes.
To like see those seasons. And that's something, like I said, like I'm actively learning to do, is in those moments of setbacks, there really are miracles to happen in the like strange, it's always in the strangest places.
No
and
doubt
for
about it.
The people that are the most unexpected.
Yes.
It's when God's
I like what you're saying, because I think sometimes we see a miracle is going to come in this particular package, or I signed with this agency, or, you know, Adam and I met this couple and this guy does this. And so it's going to be awesome.
So that's going to be the person that helps us.
Right.
Yeah.
And many times it's not that at all.
Where my engaged girls, congrats, you're engaged. So am I. Now you may be like me wondering what's next. If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place, including venue options and all your vendors. Plus, you can get design, save the dates and invites, build a free wedding website, create your registry, and stay on track and on budget throughout the entire process with their free planning tools. Zola has created everything you need to make the whole process super easy and hopefully actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on the couch. Look, I have just now opened the can of worms of all that is wedding planning, but I'm so thankful for Zola because it can help make wedding planning so much easier for all of us engaged girlies. We need to be having fun. We need to be excited. It doesn't need to be a stressful process. And I feel like Zola can really help us engaged girlies enjoy this time of our life because we are celebrating the love that we have created and this beautiful new chapter in our life. And we do not need to be crying over napkins and invitations. So Zola's got us covered. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginner advanced rides, feel-good DJ rides, or artist theme rides, they've got something for you. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, help take the guesswork out of your workout, and encourage you to build from there. Peloton Entertainment keeps you moving. Watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride, perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. I love my Peloton bike. I've had one since 2020, and I feel like it really got me through some of those dark days and kept me active. I love the instructors. They get me so hype when they have like awesome, awesome soundtracks that really just keep the fun, the excitement up as we're sweating it out and getting better every day. Wherever you're starting, get moving with Peloton Bike or Bike Plus Rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
I like how you talk about how you're spiritual, you're a man of God.
Yes.
How has your relationship with God changed, or has it changed since then? How has your faith grown? What things have you questioned?
It's changed a lot. So I think that when you are raised in a traditional church and then you go to seminary, you could see things a lot through those lenses. After traveling now to 78 countries of the world and meeting people from all walks of life, I realized that we're all made in the image of God, every person on the planet. Now, they may not have the same connection that we have to Jesus, but they're still made in the image of God. So I have really learned for a long time to be very much in the growth mindset than the fixed mindset. Because I've learned a lot of people from a lot of people that have nothing to do with church, nothing to do with religion, but yet they're amazing human beings and they're made in the image of God. No doubt about it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm on that. I grew up in the South.
Yes.
Very conservative Christian background. And then life opened up to me and I had never met a Jewish person before.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had never had that experience of people who did not grow up the way I did. And once you've had that, you have relationships with people. For me, for a little bit, it made me really question and almost have a little bit of like an identity crisis in a way, because the way that I was taught, the way that I came to my faith was in such a fixed way.
Yes.
Because I didn't have no to question some things or to not even just question, but just to like dig deeper into it. And now that I have lived a lot more life, seen a lot more, met so many different people from different backgrounds, I sometimes feel like people in my life question me more.
Yes.
And it sometimes feels, I don't know, maybe I'm still struggling with a little bit of shame of even just questioning who God is.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm understanding more the fullness of God.
I like your journey because I think that let's look at you when you were a teenager and you began to question what your mother and father said. That was not always rebellion.
No, it's
it was
not.
Like, and why can't I do this? Because we said so. I don't think that God has a problem with us wondering and questioning. Because I think a lot of what we went through in being raised in traditional church was a lot of control.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like being controlled, and neither do I, okay? So I think it's okay to have a growth mindset. That's Carol Dweck from Stanford University talks about the growth mindset and the fixed mindset. And say, you know what? I know that in our religion, it says this and that, but God, is this really true? And have these open conversations. He's not really afraid of these open conversations. If he's supposed to be my father, can I not talk to him like that?
Yeah.
That's how I see life.
On like faith, do you feel like someone, if they don't have some type of relationship with something bigger than themselves, are they experiencing the fullness of life?
I think that someone can still have a life that I call most. So here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
Three levels of living. Almost means not quite. Most means you go high, but you hit a ceiling. Utmost is beyond the ceiling.
Mm.
I think you could have a most life. You could be like super great in music. You could be famous, the biggest model in the world, greatest photographer. You know, you could be Andy Warhol, you could hit a most, but I think to get the keys to the utmost level, you got to be tapped into the utmost God.
Mm.
That was powerful stuff.
Yeah. I'm like,
there's no doubt about
it. Church.
Now, I just took you there because to go to that utmost place, that's this miracle mentality where God allows you to go beyond extraordinary, uncommon, not regular, not the norm, where God puts his super on your natural and makes your life supernatural.
Yep, that's it.
Yes,
yes.
Can I just tell you one thing about that?
Uh-huh.
Let's take Pharrell Williams, okay?
Okay.
Pharrell Williams is a great producer, great singer, had his own clothing company, now gets hired by Louis Vuitton to run their whole design side. At his amazing fashion show for the men's line, he brings in a gospel choir Okay. You have the biggest stars in the world there. He brings in a gospel choir, African-American, and they do the dopest song called Joy. You could feel God's presence there.
No denying it.
Everybody that was there, my friends were like, hey, you know, Tim, I'm not even into religion, but God was there. What is that? That's God super on Pharrell's natural, makes him supernatural.
I love how you just talked about you have friends that haven't quite, aren't there.
Yes.
Or there's certain things in their life that have made them not quite sure about this, mm-hmm. this utmost level.
Yes.
How do you love on them, encourage them, and still stay in what you know to be true?
Yes. I think that too many people use words to convince somebody of something.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's better to use actions. It's almost like if somebody's in shape, and if they just kept preaching at me to get in better shape, that's only going to go so far. But if I just see, wow, they don't eat dessert all the time, or man, they work out and it's really working. So I think that it's better to be like a walking billboard for a better tomorrow. Yeah,
and
so that's what you are.
We'll start questioning why are you a little bit different?
Yes, why are you walking in peace? So in the midst of all this chaos in the world, you know, peace is like a missing ingredient. And I walk in divine peace. I really do. I live in this state that I'm in. And I will even have people sometimes come up to me on airplanes or airports and say, I know your face is familiar, but I don't know what you do. But I just want to tell you, you have some kind of strange peace about you. So that's nothing that I'm saying to them. It's something that I'm just living.
I love that. When people that are not in that space,
mm-hmm.
how do we start those steps to get there? It's like somebody's like, man, I want that peace.
Yes.
How do you even start?
Mm-hmm. I think the good way to start is by getting alone more, as you said earlier, mm-hmm. because we become human doings rather than human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And really get into this whole Brené Brown gratitude side of life.
Yeah.
And wake up and be grateful, whether you want to journal and write what you're grateful for, or you just want to meditate on what you're grateful for. I think a lot of it starts with having an attitude of gratitude, no doubt about it.
For sure. How do you stay so positive about life?
I really think that part of my thing is I know that no matter what I'm going through, somebody is going through something worse.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you an example. I went to Children's Hospital about 10 years ago to visit somebody, and I got off on the wrong floor. I got off on the burn ward. And there I saw a little boy that had been in a fire, and his face was really badly burned. And when I got off, there was a lady there who was a nurse with his kid, and he had a balloon. And they said, oh, are you the guy? A famous football player was supposed to show up to talk to this kid for his birthday. He's in the burn ward at the Children's Hospital. And I said, what do you mean, am I the guy? And he goes, well, you're supposed to be the guy. You look like you're the guy. And so I got off and I started talking to the nurse, and she said, oh, you know, bless his heart, he's been in here forever. He got burned in a fire. But I'm seeing this little kid that his face has been really burned with his little balloon, waiting for this celebrity that's going to be nice to him for his birthday. And man, I got on the elevator. I literally started crying because I thought, holy crap. Like, I'm going through pain in my life, but my face did not get burned. I'm not like a little kid who has had to have all these surgeries. So part of my strength is realizing that, you know, I may be going through something, but there's somebody going through something worse. And I want to help that person who's going through something worse.
Yeah. I mean, that's been kind of like your life mission that's been placed
deal.
On your life.
That's my
forever.
Deal. I could be limping and I'm trying to pick somebody up.
You've worked with like huge stars.
Yes.
In their highest and lowest moments, like mm-hmm. low of low.
Yes.
Is there a common thread that you have seen in the people that you have worked with that have made it through?
Ooh, you phrase that question even better than Oprah. A lot of the stars I work with still are in a setback state, and that's why their managers will bring them to me or their friends, okay? Mm-hmm. And I find that the ones that make it are the ones that are willing to humble themselves and say, you know what? I really did do wrong, and take full responsibility and realize that they need help. And then they need to do the things that I say. They need to become awake, take inventory, partner with the right people, find the right principles, and then we find the right plan. But it's you definitely need to take full responsibility for what you did.
So you think that is one of the things just with anybody, not even just a high, like
a star.
A star.
Yeah.
That is the thing that
you gotta take responsibility
to get. That's gonna be the thing that stops you if you can't take responsibility.
100%. And what will happen is that you'll move into deception because you'll always be fixing the blame and never fixing the problem. So no. You got to take full responsibility. Mm. Like even in your relationship, right? Mm-hmm. You got to sometimes say, babe, I think it's me.
Oh, Adam, I know it's me.
Right?
Yes.
I do it.
I think I actually am pretty good at that.
Yeah.
Because I have been humbled. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes like being humbled is, or actually not sometimes, I really believe that being humbled is like the best thing for somebody to then get back in the race.
And you're exactly right. Now, if we were ordering things from Life's Diner, no one wants to order.
Nobody's going
to
say, I want the humble pie, please.
Exactly. Right? We're trying to avoid that. But humility in my life, where I have had to go through a lot of pain and sometimes I caused it, holy schmoly, man, that's hard. Because people are looking to me as be my healer, be someone who help me out of the situation. But when you're in pain yourself and then you have to eat humble pie, yikes. Been there a few times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, even Tim's story.
Yes, that's right.
Has had to have a bite of humble pie. So if you're in that place, because I think a lot of people, especially if you've like lived your life in this straight and narrow, when you have to take a bite of that, it's like, I can't believe it's me.
Yes.
Really? I've done this and it, I can also say I've been there. Like, mm-hmm. How could this be my life? Thank you so much for today. I'm going to ask one last question. Mm-hmm. What is something that somebody can do today that will help them for their better tomorrow?
So I think that people need to forgive themselves. Mm. Forgive yourself for things you wish you did not do. Could be dating somebody, staying in a relationship too long. Making choices and decisions you wished you did not make. Because if you learn to forgive and forget, you'll go forward. You'll never go forward unless you forgive yourself, learn to forget, and go forward. Mm-hmm. So today is a new day. Today is the day we prayed for yesterday. Mm-hmm. So the past is the past.
Let's go forward, y'all.
Let's go forward.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Tim Story, it was a pleasure. I think there's so many people that are like, have chills down their spine. So
what a privilege. I'm excited about your new show. Everybody tell people about it.
Please tell them about it.
Yes.
And I'm so excited for all the things that are coming up in your life and can't wait to celebrate you.
Yes. Life is good. Talk to you guys soon.
Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus Essential Plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.